This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's a Kevin Sheehan show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Kevin is out today. We are hoping that he is back tomorrow. Denton Day sitting in for Sheehan. You can tweet me at the Denton Day as we approach our final hour of the program. This offseason, this point in the offseason, is one of my favorites because we start to look ahead to the NFL draft and get a good idea of who the Commanders could be targeting as their next group of hopefully superstars. And helping us do that, my guy Ryan Fowler from the Draft Network. You can hear his podcast, Commanding the Huddle, wherever you get your podcasts. Ryan, I appreciate you making some time for me this afternoon, my friend. We haven't spoken, you know, since you went to the Senior Bowl, so I want to start there. What were some of your big takeaways from the Senior Bowl this year?
Of course, Denton, always appreciate having me on, man. Hope all is well. Yeah, Senior Bowl was it's always a good weekend down there. You know, Jim Nagy and his staff do a great job of not just getting the best guys, you know, to commit to his game, but also strap up and compete. You know, that's the biggest thing. You see, last year was really the who's who of the offensive line class. This year, the who's who of both sides of the ball, really, was down there in Mobile. And I think the big takeaway, of course, was the guys up front. You know, when you're looking at competitors like Mike Green, you're looking at Donovan Ezeraku, R.J. Oben from Notre Dame was a standout to me. I'm not sure how that young man did not get a combine invite, one of the biggest snubs of anybody for Indy next week. But it's just really nice to see these guys live. You know, you watch them for years and years and years at different schools and on tape, but getting up and close with these guys, up and personal, also learning who these young men are behind the face mask is a big thing for me in my personal process as far as putting my board together. So really good to see the big boys get after it up front. The corners are really impressive as well. Guys like Quincy Riley, Dorian Strong from Virginia Tech. But overall, always a good week to get down there.
You know, what you said is going to excite a lot of Commanders fans because as we've now been in the offseason for a couple of weeks, everybody wants to get better on the defensive side in the trenches and get better on the offensive side in the trenches. And I'm glad you mentioned Mike Green because, you know, I obviously knew a little bit about him entering the Senior Bowl, but it feels like he really took off a little bit. What about his performance there really started to turn people's heads?
Yeah, I think a big thing for Mike, you know, transferring to Marshall from UVA, a former ACC kid, former Power 5 guy, now Power 4. Big thing with Mike is the ground game. You know, I knew what he had as a pass rush repertoire. You know, watch the Ohio State tape or just the tape, and at Marshall was outstanding. But he's an underrated run defender. And the biggest thing to me with that is, can I put you on the field on early downs? I don't have to make you in that Dante Fowler type of role that was for the Commanders this year and that third down NASCAR package. So I can play you on first and second down while also creating that vertical push. So I don't think he's going to be on the board when the Commanders show up on night one if they do indeed stay at 29. You know, there's been some talks he goes in that 10 to 20 range. Personally, for me, I don't see that right now, but I do think he comes off the board for the Commanders at 29. But overall, you're Adam Peters. You look at this class, you know, there's going to be so many different guys, so many different body types and skill sets where if I want a 265-pound guy at the edge to set it, or I want someone right away that's 240 to get after the passer and have that twitch and bend on the edge. There's a lot of different guys, really, on all 3 days that you're going to be able to find contributors right away.
Are there any guys, like the thing that you mentioned about Mike Green being able to do both? We've had a lot of conversation about Dante Fowler, and him only playing 16 snaps or so in the NFC Championship game is a liability. Are there any other guys that could be available at 29 that can do both, get after the passer and set an edge so you don't have to throw John Allen or Daron Payne out there to do it for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think one guy that really pops to me is Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College. You know, heading into the 2024 campaign, I really wanted to see him take that next step in the ACC after a big 2023, and he did. You know, it was his Pittsburgh tape. You know, every single year we have certain guys who we look at, what's your resume tape? Last year was Brock Bowers against Auburn. It was unbelievable tape. Donovan's tape against Pittsburgh, 15 pressures, 4 sacks. The guy was everywhere really to wrap up the year. And in Mobile, was just one-on-ones. Yeah, it's set up for the defenders to win in those situations, but he was just excellent, you know, all year long for them. As a guy that has the length, he's got over 34s on the arms, he's grown at 250 pounds, he's got great, he's just an overall really good football player, but he's found the ability to marry, I'm a good football player, but also I'm a high-level athlete. And when you can find those players, and Boston College produces NFL guys every single year, Donovan's a guy back in, I'm at 29, and watching Adam Peters locked into the one-on-ones like he was down there in Mobile, that's a guy at 29. If he's there, I wouldn't be shocked if he's the pick for Washington.
See, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is a name that most Commanders fans probably have not heard a lot of. We hear about Abdul Carter, James Pierce Jr., even Mike Green, so I'm glad that you mentioned that one, but I do want to talk about the top of this class. Abdul Carter feels like he is the consensus best edge guy in this year's class. How big is the gap between him and whoever you have at second?
Yeah, I do think there's a separation of tier. You know, there's a lot of names to note, right? Day one, day two, day three, and even the UDFA bucket. They're going to get some opportunities on the 53-man roster, but Abdul really is in his own tier. And I think what makes him so unique is his ability to look, say, hey, I'm an off-ball backer in prior years, and now this is my first year at edge, and the potential is just, it's absolutely through the roof. But I think he's checked more boxes for me personally and for teams as far as what he can be in all three downs, and also as a guy that can drop back in coverage and offer some unique looks, also be a guy that twists into the interior. And then alignment versatility is why he's gotten those comparisons to Micah Parsons, to where he can beat you from a lot of different spots. So that's why I do have Abdul in his own tier. He's the number two player in my class, in the class for me. Travis Hunter is number one. That's not really a surprise probably to anybody, but you know, he's an all-pro type of ceiling at receiver and at corner. Nobody else has that in his class, really, ever entering the NFL draft. So Travis Hunter is definitely a unique player. But, you know, the guys behind him, Mykael Williams, Jalen Walker, the James Pierces of the world, you know, those guys have a lot of questions around their game. And the world, the word then is potential with all these guys. And that word is scary, because that word can get coaches fired at the end of the day. They're trying the potential of somebody, right? The Emmanuel Forbes of the world, right? The potential of him as a ball hawk and a defense. So there's a separation of tier between Abdul Carter and the rest of these guys, but there's going to be a lot of good football players that come out of this class on all 3 days at the edge position.
Talking with Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on a Wednesday. Ryan, we've had a lot of fans that have tweeted at me, and I'm sure they've tweeted at you, and said, Denton, they need a running back, they being the Commanders. It feels like this is one of the deeper classes that we have seen in a long, long time at the position. Is there anyone at the Senior Bowl that you went into the week maybe being a little unsure of how they would perform and then really caught your eye?
Yeah, I'll say there's three guys off the top of my head. Damian Martinez from Miami, you know, former Oregon State transfer going in there that loaded Miami Hurricanes offense this year. Really impressed with him, because there's a lot of guys that are in that 5'9 to 5'11 bucket that are around that 200 to 210 pound frame. And I just think there's going to be a situation where teams look at these guys that are some of these bulkier ball carriers like Damian or Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State, or even a Phil Maffa on day three from Clemson, to say, can you potentially be an RB1? And Damian Martinez is going to be that guy. He was down in the Mobile, really enjoyed watching him. And then two guys that are in that smaller type of frame, Woody Marks from USC, former Mississippi State transfer. He's going to be a playbook extender right away. And also LaQuint Allen from Syracuse. He may have the best hands other than Breshard Smith, the former four-star wide receiver recruit that went to Miami, ended up at SMU in this class. So those three guys specifically, LaQuint, Woody Marks, Sammy Martinez, I think if you're Washington in that day two to day three bucket, you only got seven picks, and four of them are within the fifth round and back. You're going to have to utilize that capital, and you're really going to have to trust your scouting staff to find these guys on day three. But You're gonna get some ball players here on day three in the running back class for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I'm glad you mentioned LaQuint Allen, because, you know, watching him at Syracuse with Kyle McCord and them actually throwing the football, he showcased his versatility. Do you think that he is going to be around at the late stages to where if Adam Peters maybe starts to build up some of the picks so they have more than seven, he'll be around in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round?
I don't think he makes it to six or seven, but I could see him there in the fifth. And the reason why I say that specifically, there are some concerns as far as just his body profile. He's extremely high-hipped. The change of direction has to get better. But, you know, as you just talked about at Syracuse with Kyle McCord, you know, his ability to expand a playbook. You know, I don't know the future of anybody really in Washington's running back room right now, any of the four guys that had a role in 2024. And you get a young man like LaQuint in the building to where you can see what Jaden Daniels does with his ability. You get LaQuint Allen as a playbook extender, and maybe you add a pick, let's just say late fourth round, middle of the fourth round, and he's sitting there on the board. I would absolutely be comfortable with taking a player like that, again, to maximize the capital that you do have right now.
How did guys like Devin Neal or R.J. Harvey perform at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, Devin did a really nice job. He's another guy in this class. I feel like I could sit here, Denton, and talk about 30 guys that I really do like in this running back class. But Devin is a guy out of Kansas. You know, the Colorado tape for him at the back end of the year, really ruining the Buffalo's Big 12 title hopes, was outstanding to see as far as just showing up in big moments. And he did a really nice job in Mobile. Another guy that's going to be good in space, too. But R.J. Harvey, he's not the biggest guy in the world. You know, 5'9", 5'10", max. But just the dynamic footwork inside and outside the tackles, I think he's going to be someone that I wouldn't be surprised. You know, we're sitting here next year talking about the 26 draft, where he finishes top three or four as far as rushing yards and contributions for a team, because he's just an electric football player that can do a lot of different things for you. And also stick his face in pass pro, even though he's not the biggest guy in the world, because you hear some people talk about technique and he's not great running back position as far as the pass pro. Pass pro is an effort thing. Are you going to do it or are you not? Are you going to stick your face in? And R.J. Harvey is that type of football player. And on day three, late portions of day two, that's the type of player people want in their locker room. And for Adam Peters, type of contributors he wants, guys that just come in, strap up, and show up, R.J. Harvey is absolutely a guy that may end up in the Burgundy Gold. We'll see what happens.
I loved watching Harvey play. Now, I think if you and I were to be having this conversation maybe, let's just say, 8 months ago before the college football season started, I think a lot of people would have had really high expectations for Ollie Gordon based off of what he had done the previous year at Oklahoma State. It feels like this season his draft status really took a massive hit. What went wrong with him in 2024?
Yeah, I'll say this. It was a little bit of a double-edged sword for Ollie this year. You know, had a lot of success that he did the prior year, and then, you know, he come into this year where – you know, you're facing some of those interesting 3-3-5 stacks in the Big 12. Well, he saw a lot of even five-man fronts this year down there for Oklahoma State, where they just said, hey, look, we're going to face, you know, we're going to force Alan Bowman to drop back and beat us through the air. We're going to stack the box 7-8 guys at times and just try to you guys to force us to beat us through the air. So I think if he gets into an NFL offense, as he even did at the Senior Bowl in a neutral environment where I thought he had a good week then, there's better players around him. I think Ollie Gordon could work back to that guy to where say, hey, this guy was talked about as a top 50 pick, you know, this time last year, like you said, 8 months ago. So I'm not low on Ollie. I think it just provided a little bit more context into his game as far as a guy, can you consistently create your own run lanes or defeat this guy in the hole or run through the safety or also run around this corner? So there are some limitations in his game, but I would not be surprised at all if Ollie Gordon goes into a nice situation like a Pittsburgh, where they had a lot of attention with him these last few weeks, and says, hey, look, we're going to run the ball. We're going to put you 20-plus times a game, and you're a guy that's going to be a contributor for a long, long time for us and eventually be that RB1 for a football team.
Talking with Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. This is a little bit more of a philosophical question, if you will, Ryan, but I've always been curious. You know, you've been doing this for a long time. How does the combine impact your board and the way that you see certain players, knowing that it is basically the underwear Olympics?
Yeah, no, it is. It is. I think the biggest thing for me heading into this week is, you know, is anybody going to force me to go back and look at the tape again? Because I'm not heading into this week. I don't care if somebody goes out there and runs, you know, 4.4, they're supposed to run 4.6 or the opposite. You know, I'm not going to go and say, hey, I'm bumping this guy up 55 picks because of what I saw in a T-shirt and shorts. You know, everyone wants to talk about the 40 and the vert and the broad. But the biggest thing about the combine is what we don't see, and that's the interviews. You know, a lot of these GMs and head coaches, this is the first time they ever sit down with these young men face-to-face and say, who are you behind the face mask? What are you going to be also as a leader in the locker room, a person in the community, and someone that ultimately, when the goal of every GM in football is to get you on a second contract. We're not drafting you for this year or the next. Can you have a second contract in our organization? So this is the biggest thing where teams can go in, trust their tape over the last 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 or even 7 years with a guy like Tyler Shuck, quarterback from Louisville, and say, hey, can we finalize our boards here and really just knock off everything beyond the tape to solidify our board in a year that is just so up in the air?
So I'm curious, being that you're not going to too much adjust your board and your grades, how many wide receivers do you have first-round grades on this year?
Yeah, look, I feel like it fluctuates almost by the week for me. You know, I'm lower on a guy like Satoru McMillan. You know, he's going to be, I don't know, I'm not finalized with him yet. He's going to be a guy I wouldn't be shocked goes in the top 15, but I currently have an early second-round grade on Satoru McMillan. You know, after the catches is very below average for me, for him. But Luther Burden, I think, is a guy that goes in round one. Travis Hunter, whatever you think he is, I can classify him there. I really like Matthew Golden, and I'm also going to throw Emeka Ibuka and Jalen Royals as well from Utah State is someone I really like in this class. Talked about a lot here these last few weeks as a guy that has that basketball background, fluid athlete, wins in a variety of ways. You know, even at the Senior Bowl, Denton, this is a guy that showed up, and getting live eyes on him, this is a very, very NFL-ready kid from a frame perspective. You know, his muscles got muscles on Jalen Royals, a very impressively built young man. He can win inside. He can win outside. Jonathan Edwards from Tulane tried to press him in a one-on-one situation, and he blew him off the ball 5 yards downfield. Those are the types of things that an athlete that he's going to be. He's also a hell of a young man behind the face mask and a leader, and work ethic was just lauded at that Utah State program. So probably 4 or 5 guys right now that have his first-round grades that would not be shocked to come off the board.
A few more for Ryan Fowler here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. We talked about the trenches on the defensive side. You know, some names that have been rumored to the Commanders. One of the ones that I've seen on several different mock drafts is Josh Simmons out of Ohio State. Now, he's coming off of a knee injury, so I'm curious, do you think that the upside of him is worth taking a guy in the first round that's coming off a significant knee injury?
Absolutely. I think if Josh doesn't get hurt, I think he's a clear bona fide tackle one in this class. In my honest opinion. And if you do take him at 29 and if he's there, you know, Brandon Coleman, where do you put him? Is this a situation to where you bump him to right tackle? Because I don't think right now he's taking Allegretti, Biotish, or Sam Cosmi's spot when healthy. But we'll see what happens, of course, with Sam's recovery. Josh Simmons is a dynamic football player when healthy. Now, medicals are going to be huge for him at the combine, but he is someone right away that I would expect when healthy, 100% to start in the NFL right away. So if you're at 29, he's there, and that's the plan, you're going to draft him and most likely start him at left tackle right away.
All right, so a couple of national questions here for you. You know, Cam Ward said yesterday anybody that passes him is going to regret it. Is he your number one quarterback in this class?
Cam is, yes, and I do have a separation between him and Shadur, but it's a lot of give and take with that young man. But however, I really enjoyed watching him incarnate to Washington State, to Miami, 3 different scenarios, 3 different skill groups, 3 different offenses. The poise, right, is big with Cam. He plays at his own tempo, which I really like, but he's got to taper back the turnover-worthy throws. It's not going to work against better defenders within a back 7. So he is my QB1, and there is a separation, but that there's just so much give and take with that young man.
So last year we saw a fire sale on quarterbacks, you know, 6 in the first 12. In previous years, we've seen a lot of wide receivers go very early in the first round. Is there one particular position that you feel like could be a point of need for most teams to where they're trading up to get a guy in the first 15 picks?
I think the running back class is going to be very interesting to see what happens on night one. You know, you look at teams like Pittsburgh or Denver or Los Angeles or Houston, the Vikings, of course. Amarian Hampson continues to be talked about, you know, as these weeks go on. I think there's some prospect fatigue going on with Ashton Jeanty, but I personally really like Amarian. And I'm not sure if there's teams that are going to, you know, say, hey, there's 2 or 3 teams here looking to trade up to get a guy like Ashton or a guy like Amarian. But the running back class is really going to be interesting because I know there's a lot of names, but there is a separation in tiers as far as your Gentes, your Hamptons, to even your Trayvon Henderson, Caleb Johnson, and your Quinshon Judkins of the world. So that's a really interesting position to watch on night one, Denton, even though we do not have a Bijan Robinson and a Jahmyr Gibbs type in this class.
Right. Ryan, appreciate the time as always, man. I mean, we could literally do this for an hour. I love the draft stuff. I know you're great at it, so I appreciate it, man. Enjoy the combine this upcoming week.
Thanks as always, Denton. We'll talk soon, man.
That is Ryan Fowler. Good enough to join us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day. Sitting in for Kevin. We're headed to College Park when we get back. Stephen Gordy going to jump on with us. Talk a little bit of Maryland basketball. Does he agree with Kevin's take from earlier this week that the Terps could be a Final Four team? Find out when we get back on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day on the Team 980.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Kevin is out. He is hopefully going to be back tomorrow. Denton Day sitting in for the big man. We're going to head out to College Park, talk a little bit of Maryland hoops. Just because Kevin's not here doesn't mean we don't like to talk Maryland hoops. And joining us to do so, my guy Steve Gorgie. He is the host of the Route 1 Rundown. You can find it wherever you get your podcast, and he's on YouTube, so you get to see videos of him talking Maryland basketball. Steve, appreciate you making some time for me, my friend. I hope you're doing well. I want to start with the game on Sunday. I know we're a couple of days removed from it, but I thought it was a really good example of the offensive firepower that Maryland possesses in the second half. What did you take away from that win against the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, first, Ben, well, thanks so much for having me on. There's nowhere I'd rather be on this frigid Wednesday than talking some Terps basketball with you. But yeah, I agree completely on that Iowa game. It was a game that I thought was, quite frankly, disappointing in the first half. Maryland got out to a really hot start. They were 7 of 7 from the floor to start the game, but they ended up trailing by 4 at halftime, and that's Iowa for you. Iowa gets up and goes. They're a great offensive team. They're not a great defensive team, and Maryland's down 4 at halftime. And then I thought in the second half, Maryland showed why so many people are so high on this team, why they are so good offensively, and it's because all 5 of those starters can score on any given night, and it was the second game in a row where all 5 starters score in double figures. Maryland's 5 starters are now the highest scoring starting unit in the entire country. They've scored in double figures. Each of them have scored in double figures in the same game 5 times. Only Kentucky has done that. And it was, to me, a perception-changing win, because I feel like this Maryland season, if you've been watching it closely, you've seen what they can do offensively. But on the first Sunday after the football season was done, for the whole nation to have a chance to see what Maryland can do on the offensive end, how all 5 of those guys can score, I thought it was a win that could really change the perception of how people think about this Terps team nationally. I've thought all season long that they're an excellent offensive unit. I think now maybe the rest of the nation is starting to see it too.
Do you think they still need that massive win? And I look at that, I ask that question knowing that Michigan State is on the schedule next week, because them being at 20 feels a little low.
So I think that you look at their resume, and they have a really good resume. They're 6-5 in quad one games. They have a win on the road at Illinois. They have a home win against a Wisconsin team that's starting to look like one of the best in the country. I mean, they can put up points on anybody. You saw what they did last night against Illinois. They put up 95 on Illinois. They beat Purdue over the weekend. So I think Maryland's resume is really good. What's holding them back right now, I think, from a perception perspective, is that non-conference strength of schedule. You look at the non-conference strength of schedule, and it's 327. It's not good at all. They played a weak non-conference schedule. They were 8-0 in quad four games. But since they've gotten into Big Ten play, I think that's a lot of that's gone away. I think a lot of those questions should have gone away. Now, have they? Maybe not, because, of course, Maryland wasn't in the top 16 reveal that came out on Saturday. I didn't think they would be, but I thought they had a chance to be a little bit closer to that top 4. You look at a lot of these bracketologies, they're a 5 seed, they're a 6 seed, but in some of them, they're a little bit lower, down to the 7 line. I think a win over a Michigan State, or better yet, a road win over Michigan in a couple weeks would do wonders when it comes to Selection Sunday.
I was going to ask, but it feels like you answered that. Do you feel like that road game against Michigan is going to be more important for where they end up seeding-wise in the NCAA tournament?
So I think they're both going to be quad one games, right? Either one adds that quad one ledger. I think the question about Maryland for some of this season has been, can they win on the road? You know, they started out 0-4 on the road, and the question was, can they get a road win? Can they get a road win? Can they get a road win? Well, they go out and they answer that. They win at Illinois. They win at Indiana in back-to-back games. And then last week, they won at Nebraska. And I think that's dissipated a little bit, but that's a big-time feather in your cap, especially Michigan right now, sitting at the top of the conference, just 2 conference losses, the favorite to win the league at this point. If Maryland could go and get that win, I mean, that would be by far their best win of the season, a road win over the potential Big Ten champ. So I think either would be a great win. Now, if they could possibly sweep those, if Maryland wins out, if Maryland can go 5-0 the rest of the way, which I admit is unlikely. They could be in the conversation for a share of the Big Ten title. It's really close to the top. Michigan has 2 losses, Michigan State 3, Wisconsin 4, and Purdue and Maryland both have 5. I think if Maryland could get to 15-5, they could win a share of the Big Ten title possibly, and then that puts them in a position where you are talking maybe a 3 seed, you are talking maybe a 4 seed.
So this is, I don't love what if questions, Steve, but I'm going to ask you one anyway. If Maryland wins out, they go 5-0, and then they get to at least the final in the Big Ten tournament, what is their ceiling seeding-wise? I don't anticipate that they get a 1 seed. It feels like there's a combination of teams that are already kind of, they've just about locked that up. But is there a potential they could get to a 3 or maybe even a 2 seed with a 5-0 finish to the regular season and then a really strong performance, if not a win, in the Big Ten championship?
I think even with 5-0 and a Big Ten tournament title, I think you're looking at a 3 seed max, and I think it's really because of the strength of the SEC. It feels like there's this group of teams that includes Auburn, which is the clear favorite to win it all right now. They're the clear favorite to be the top overall seed. You have teams like Auburn, Alabama, Florida, that feel kind of locked in. You add Duke to that as well, Tennessee, Houston, maybe Texas A&M. It feels like there's 7 or 8 teams that are really locked in to that 1 or 2 seed line at the moment. And I think that non-conference strength of schedule is just going to be the thing that continues to hold Maryland back. When you talk about really getting a 2 seed, I mean, being a top 8 team in the country. Now, Maryland's predictive metrics are excellent. When you look at the predictive metrics that the committee uses on their team sheet, in the net, they're number 12. KenPom, they're number 14. But some of the results-based metrics are not quite as good. You're looking at a 28 on KPI, 22 for the strength of record. So I think that in the non-conference strength of schedule is what's going to hold Maryland back from possibly getting that 2 seed. But if they were to go 5-0 and win the Big Ten tournament, or even honestly from a seeding perspective, I think getting to the final is about the same given how late on Sunday afternoon that game is. I think a 3 seed is very much in play.
Talking with Steve Gorge of the Route 1 Rundown here on the Kevin Sheehan Show, with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin, talking a little bit of Maryland hoops. So you mentioned that the starting lineup for this Maryland team offensively is one of, if not the best in the country. I'm assuming that Derek Queen is still going to be the number one option for Maryland when we get to the month of March. But if it's not him, who needs to be the second guy that can really lead the team in scoring in the event where Derek Queen has an off night in March?
Well, you know what's so interesting about this team, Denton, is yes, Derek Queen is the leading scorer. He's averaging 16 points per game, but everybody in that starting five is averaging at least 12 points per game. And I think that's what makes this team so dangerous, is anybody can step up on any given night. And Derek Queen, since that 1 week bye, has been fantastic. The Nebraska game, he was great. The Rutgers game was probably his best of the season, going up against fellow freshman Ace Bailey. But we've seen earlier this year, when Derek Queen has an off night, Julian Reese, his senior partner in the front court, has really stepped up. I think Jacoby Gillespie, the point guard, I think he's the X factor for this team, because he had a really rough road trip when they went out west to start the year, to start January at Washington and Oregon. It really was a bad game against Washington, a little better against Oregon. But since then, he's been excellent. And he can do it all. He's a three-level scorer. He can get to the basket. He can shoot the three ball. He's a great passer. He sees the court well. So I think it's Jacoby Gillespie. I think this team, you know, we've seen with Maryland teams in the past, Maryland is reliant on a lead guard a lot throughout the years. Anthony Cowan, Melo Trimble. I think this Maryland team is different in that they're not solely reliant on one lead guard. They have so much versatility. They have so much depth in that starting lineup. But still, it's college basketball. It's a guards game. And I think they're going to go as far as Jacoby Gillespie can take them.
So I was looking at some of the odds this morning. I was going to compare Maryland's national championship odds to the odds of an asteroid hitting us in 2032, which sounds like a crazy sentence, but that's what my morning was. Right now, they're 50-1. To win the championship. We have said multiple times on this show this week, we feel like Maryland can get to the Final Four. Do you feel like they have the best chance out of the Big Ten to get to the Final Four?
That's a great question. And it's tough because that Big Ten is just so bunched together at the top. I'll say this. I would put them in a group with Michigan, and with Wisconsin. Purdue, I thought, was the best team in the Big Ten throughout the course of the season. It's not looking that way right now. Purdue doesn't have the defense that I thought they have. But I think Michigan, Maryland, and Wisconsin are those top three. And Michigan, or Wisconsin and Maryland, rather, are similar in a lot of ways because they're both teams that can go off on any night. Wisconsin has two guards in John Tanjay and John Blackwell that feel like they can go off on any given night. But when I look around the country, outside of that top group that I mentioned earlier, that includes Auburn, that includes Duke, that includes some of those other SEC teams, I don't think there's a team in the country, and certainly not a team in the SEC, that Maryland necessarily needs to be scared of. There's nobody they should be shaking in their boots where they say, oh, we don't want to see this team. There's no way we can beat that team if they're going up against a team that's a 3 seed, 4 seed, 5 seed. I don't see anybody in the country that scares me like that. In years past, especially last year, Maryland was not a good three-point shooting team. They really haven't been under Kevin Willard until this season. They played Alabama 2 years ago in the NCAA tournament, and it was like, there's no way Maryland can keep up with them if you get into a three-point shootout, which is what happened. This year, that's not the case. It doesn't feel like there's anybody out there who Maryland should be scared of. So I would put them right there with Wisconsin and Michigan as the Big Ten teams that I think could really make a run.
Steve, I'll get you out of here with this one. Obviously, it's a dangerous game if you're relying so heavily on your starters the way that Maryland has. Is there a guy on the bench that you feel like is in a prime position to step up once we get to the NCAA tournament?
So there's a couple guys who have played key roles this season off the bench, but more from a defensive perspective. It's Jordan Geronimo, who was the transfer from Indiana. He's been with the team a couple years. And then Tafara Gapare, a transfer from Georgia Tech. And they kind of play similar roles. And it's a role that Maryland needs. They're both long, athletic guys who can give you a little bit of a different look in the front court if you want to go smaller. You know, Maryland's at its best offensively when Julian Reese and Derek Queen are on the floor together. But sometimes defensively, that can present a challenge, especially against a team that has a stretch big who can step outside. Both those guys, Geronimo and Gapare, are going to be critical if Maryland goes up against a really athletic team like a Duke with Cooper Flagg, like a Houston team that has athletes all over the floor. Those two guys are the guys I wouldn't expect to score. I would not expect them to contribute a ton offensively, although they have hit some shots at times, but they are going to be critical off the bench when you think about how do you shut teams down from a defensive perspective.
Steve, appreciate it as always, my friend. Let's do this again sometime soon.
Absolutely, Denton. Thanks so much for having me. It was a blast.
That is Steve Gorgis, the host of the Route 1 Rundown. You can find that on YouTube and wherever it is that you get your podcast. Talking a little bit of Maryland hoops with me here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. We're hoping that Kevin is back tomorrow, but we've gone an entire show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan, and we haven't done any news. We fix that when we get back. Denton's Daily News when we return to wrap things up here on the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980. It's Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Final segment here before Chris Russell takes over at 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's been a whole lot of fun. Big thanks to Steve Gorgie, Ryan Fowler for joining us this hour. Adam Epstein joined us in the 11 o'clock hour. A lot of talk about the Commanders. You can still tweet me your thoughts on the show if you're listening via podcast at the Denton Day. But we've gone an entire show and we haven't done any of Denton's news, so we're switching that up now. Max, please hit my sounder. I feel honest. Feels a little bit like an ego trip throwing to that myself, but I will suffice. So we got Max rolling with us. He's going to help us out a little bit with the news. And where we're starting, Max, is something that you and I were talking about prior to the show starting. I pitched this idea to Kevin yesterday, and considering that he is sick, I hope he is watching it. But Court of Gold dropped on Netflix. It's a docu-series. I thought it was a documentary. It's a docu-series, 6 episodes, following not just Team USA, following everybody in the Olympic basketball run that we had this summer. I thought it was just going to be Team USA because it had only been promoted as Team USA, but you get a little bit of Serbia, you get a little bit of Canada, who, by the way, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he comes off looking incredible in this documentary, at least from what I've seen. I'm 4 episodes in, past the part where Canada's eliminated. So he looks good in this, but Kevin Durant is the guy that I was really excited to see because all the promotion leading up to this release for Netflix was centered around Kevin Durant and the comment about, yeah, all this chemistry, that's not going to help you when you're guarding Steph, which I think is the most badass thing that maybe anyone has ever said. You had that point where he's getting emotional about the love of basketball. If you hate Kevin Durant for the Warriors thing still, you're not going to like Kevin Durant off of this one. It's just not. You're going to hold on to that until you're in the grave, and that's your prerogative. I am not like that. I like Kevin Durant. Yeah, for real, grow up. But Kevin Durant is from here. I support guys that are from here. Along with that, I just love Kevin Durant in general. He's one of the best basketball players that I've ever seen. He is awesome in this documentary.
Incredible.
Honest, raw, authentic. It's really, really fun to see one of the greatest basketball players of an era be so genuine about how much this means, what this process was like getting to play with Steph. I've always been a little confused because when you talk to Durant in, like, you know, casual interviews about some of the best players that he's played with, he's very quick to mention James Harden. He's very quick to mention Kyrie, Russell Westbrook. It feels like he very rarely mentions Steph. But to see how giddy he was to be able to play again with Steph Curry in this thing, I thought was really, really cool. I can't wait to watch the final two episodes once we rack things up here.
Yeah, I'm going to, once I get off today, I'm going to lock in and run through these final four episodes because I made it through the first two. And yeah, I'm kind of was left wanting more, especially as I was going to bed. I was just trying to resist the urge to sit there and throw on another episode because I would have been up all night.
So I'm going to give you a teaser for what you're going to get. I hope this doesn't come off as spoilers, but I'm going to give you a teaser for what you're going to get.
I watched the tournament.
You watch, so. Yes, you know who wins. episode 3 starts. This was the favorite thing that I have seen so far because it is just so genuine. It starts in the Serbian locker room after the game that Durant played when he had come back from a month.
I think I've seen the clip on Twitter.
And the coach is cussing up a storm. Basically being like, somebody effing guard Durant. And he was like, if Kevin Durant is shooting, go to him. If it's not Kevin Durant, leave them alone and guard effing Durant. It was genuinely, as an American, the most hilarious thing that I have seen.
Yeah, it was Bam Adebayo was catching strays, I think.
Bam is also very good in this, by the way. Like, Bam is really, he's a really good interview. So if you haven't watched Court of Gold, go watch Court of Gold. It's sensational, especially if you are a basketball fan that just actually loves basketball, not the nonsense that the NBA All-Star Game put on this weekend. And let me know your thoughts, because I absolutely loved it. Speaking of the NBA, Reggie Miller is leaving TNT. He's going to join NBC Sports. We had seen a rumor about this. This is now confirmed. I think he'd been with TNT for close to two decades. He's kind of synonymous, it feels like, with the brand. He's been a pretty decent color commentator and analyst on the broadcast, but he's now going to take a bigger role with NBC Sports because of the television contract that is coming up. So we're going to get to see a lot more of Reggie Miller in, I would assume, their number one booth for NBC. I like Reggie. I don't love Reggie as a commentator, but I like him. There are certainly a lot worse commentators in basketball that you can that you could have hired. So I think Reggie will do a good job, especially if he's working alongside Tirico. I mean, Tirico's going to lift anybody, but Reggie and Tirico could be a really strong team.
Yeah, rising tide lifts all ships. I haven't been a huge fan of Reggie, but like I don't spend every night watching basketball. So there are definitely worse color commentators that could be making the move.
I mean, the Van Gundys would have been my top choice, one of the two of them. I think both of the Van Gundys are really good. I also really like Richard Jefferson. He doesn't seem to get a lot of the love in these conversations. He does some studio stuff with ESPN, and the mothership's not going to let him out of that contract.
Of course not.
But I think Richard Jefferson, this is the best way I can describe this. Richard Jefferson is my favorite analyst to listen to during a blowout, because when the game is a 30-point game, the jokes, the like kind of like inside little scoops that you get, but doing so in a comedic way, when the game shifts to what we in the business call podcast mode, Richard Jefferson is perfect. So I would have loved to see him get a bigger job. I'm hoping that ESPN continues to elevate him, because I think he is absolutely excellent when it comes to calling games, especially in the postseason. I do want to mention this score and just kind of dunk on Kansas because I don't like them. BYU destroyed the Jayhawks last night in college basketball. The fact that they are still ranked absolutely baffles my mind. They're not good. They lost by 34. This is one of the worst losses in the career of Bill Self, 91-57. And it's not like BYU is spectacular by any stretch of the imagination. So the fact they lost like that to that particular team, they got a lot of talent on that Kansas roster. They clearly don't have enough, or Bill Self is in a little bit of trouble with some of the way that he's coaching these guys up. And final thing here, Aaron Gordon is open to returning to the dunk contest. A couple years after he swore off ever returning to the dunk contest, he was mad as hell for years about Dwayne Wade giving him a 9 when he deserved a 10 and robbing him of a 50 that ended up making him lose to Zach LaVine in what I thought was the greatest dunk contest, certainly in a long, long time. I'd argue the greatest dunk contest ever. He said he's open to coming back. By the way, if you didn't know this, this is just a fact for people. Aaron Gordon, when he got traded to Denver, wore 50 as a way to kind of like not protest necessarily, but as a
acknowledge,
cry for help, whatever you want to call it. Sure. He wore 50 because he wasn't given a 50. I thought that was corny. But if he's going to come back to the dunk contest, I would at least watch. It would get my attention. I think he's a little too old for it now, to be honest. I don't know if the bounce is the same as it was 6 years ago. At this point, it would be close to 9 years ago. Math,
don't say that to me. That I'm...
It was 2016.
Ancient.
Yeah, and we're going ancient. into I guess it would be 10 years now.
God,
we're thrilled. We're doing great at math over here.
We're crushing it
on this show. So Aaron Gordon said he's open to it. If we get all these teases from Ja Morant and Giannis and Aaron Gordon, and we have to deal with another year of Mac McClung and a bunch of role players, I'm going to be pissed.
I'm out forever.
I am out forever if that happens. We are out now for the day. Not forever. We'll be back tomorrow. The hope is that Kevin is going to be back. If not, oh, you get me a Max again, and that's a pretty good
probably,
duo.
Yeah.
I would say Chris Russell. I've seen him walking around the building. He takes over at the top of the hour, 1 p.m. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Team 980.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.